Democrat of the day, we go to 34B. Representative Kristen Bonner is kind enough to join us right now and talk about, well, things, I imagine. We're going to have a few things to talk about today. Representative, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Well, thank you for having me on today, Matt. I really do appreciate it. I know it's a little hectic here at the Capitol, but it's good to take a moment out just to chat with listeners and speak to you about this issue.
And I'll tell you what, and thank you very much for your time. I know you're very busy. By the way, I was up in your district not this last weekend, the weekend beforehand. I loved it. Got some Greek food down in the downtown there. And went up to Elm Creek Preserve Park. I was up there. I had a great time. It's a cute district.
You didn't by chance see our friend the black bear roaming around, did you?
No, I didn't. I saw that. I'm not joking. I told my wife, we were walking that trail, and I said, I guarantee you there's a black bear or two in this area. There got to be. It's just his prime territory. And then all of a sudden I saw that story about that. He had a bear trap on his leg, right?
Yes. There's also a rumor that we are home to some folks from the Rusty Patch Bumblebee, which is the official state bee in Maple Grove as nice. Well. They're hard to find, but, you know, we've got all kinds of crazy wildlife in Maple Grove, from exotic bees to black bears.
And good Greek food, by the way. Very tasty. I enjoyed that quite a bit. Okay, so I want to ask you, first of all, 34B, are you still in 34B after redistricting?
Well, actually, I will become 37B after redistricting is completed.
I was about to wonder if we had our first person that kept the same number. No, that changed up a lot. Did the district change as far as the parameters around it too much?
A little bit. So I now cover about 3/4 of Maple Grove.
Okay.
I unfortunately lost Osseo, which I am super bummed about. I love Osseo. They are my little hidden gem. And I lost a couple precincts in the southwest that will now head into a district that mostly encompasses Plymouth. And I gained 3 precincts right along the Maple Grove Dayton border.
Okay. You have, through your career there, you are now, I believe, the vice chair of human services. You're also on the committee for health, which is why I specifically sought you out today. We had that ruling that was leaked from the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade. I'm going to ask you your thoughts on this as a person that every day goes into that Capitol and deals with health and human services issues.
You know, well, it also just so happens that I am also the author of the Equal Rights Amendment as well.
Indeed.
On top of all of those other things. But I tell you, you know, I think there's far-reaching implications here for women's health, their bodily autonomy, the ability to make decisions and have those kept between a woman and her doctor that extend far and wide. And I really have grave concerns because not only do we have on the line the potential of overturning Roe v. Wade, which of course handles things like abortion, but we also are talking about, say, like the Griswold decision, which could potentially overturn the ability for women to have access to birth control. And quite frankly, that has severe impacts on abilities for a woman to have economic security, to have health security, to be able to raise her children. A lot of women who are not able to obtain abortion end up being single moms, which puts a tremendous strain on her and her financial outlook, her ability to be promoted, to earn more money, to have greater pay equity, to be able to make smarter decisions about her health care and that of her children. And so it really has far-reaching consequences, quite frankly, and really just that whole concept of a woman being able to control her own destiny is really what's on the line.
And by the way, it goes even beyond, you know, and nothing, by all means, everything you said is 100% valid and infuriating to think about, but as well, same-sex marriage. The removal of these the sodomy laws that were in a lot of states. I mean, this is all under the same umbrella as far as how Alito's going after abortion and Roe v. Wade. And the reality is there's a lot of things. It does seem like this is an attempt by the right to basically go back and say we're going to undo all these laws, you know, that were passed, and they're going to do it under the argument of oh, it's going to, the states have the choice to do this, not the federal government. But the reality is they know that that will dramatically limit contraception, access to abortion, same-sex marriage. And I mean, even going to the thing where the Republicans are trying to get into people's bedrooms and regulate their relations. I mean, it really is disturbing to see where the Republicans are pushing this country to right now.
It is. And I think the interesting part about the Alito decision, if we base it on the factors in which he uses as the basis for his decision, it means that there's other things that also are on the line. As you mentioned, you know, the topic of birth control, gay marriage, keeping families together.
Yes.
There's rights around the ability to control the upbringing of children, which our conservative friends tend to gravitate towards, as well as the right to refuse medical treatment, for example. That is another thing that is not explicitly spelled out in the Constitution, but we have been upholding those rights for quite some time. So if we use the Alito decision as the basis, it starts unraveling a great number of rights and protections. And what's really alarming is the fact that we are not necessarily making this decision based on legal precedent, which we have typically done, but based on whether someone disagrees with a practice. And for justices of the Supreme Court of the United States to be using that as the basis of judgment is extremely alarming.
Representative, I mean, let's pull it back to Minnesota here. We do have Doe versus Gomez, which is a very, you know, it gives us more abortion rights than the federal government gave us here in the state of Minnesota. And a lot of legal experts have pointed that it'd be very difficult, not impossible, but very difficult to overturn that ruling in the state of Minnesota. But the reality is I think we need to make sure we understand this. As much as Republicans might either be quiet after this Alito hearing or insist, oh, we're not going to go any further, I think it's clear that the Republicans have an agenda, that they want to restrict choice in the state of Minnesota, and that some of them indeed want to go down that anti-contraception, get rid of gay marriage. They want to go on out there and start regulating the bedroom again. I think that we are looking at, we look at this election, the choice is pretty clear that the Republicans have a pretty archaic vision for America, and it is not one that's good for Minnesotans.
And I think that is true. And here in Minnesota, I think, so it is true that we are one of those oasis type states, in that we do have additional protections in our state constitution that protect the right of abortion. But what I think we have to also understand that states like Minnesota will literally become that oasis, right? We have our neighbors to the east in Wisconsin, who, if this gets overturned, will automatically have a law on the books that will forbid abortion and make it actually a felony offense, if I'm not mistaken, in Wisconsin. We have the Dakotas and Iowa, who also have, it is illegal to have an abortion. There's a study that I did, was looking at the other day, and they suggested that states like Illinois could see a 9,000% increase in traffic from surrounding states to come for the procedure. California, 6,000% increase. While they didn't specifically call out Minnesota, we can imagine that we will see significantly large increases here in Minnesota as well. If that were to happen. And so that has profound effects on folks traveling here for that procedure. And what's also interesting when we talk about things like safety and so forth, what's interesting to note is that now the abortion pill is actually eclipsing traditional forms, which means that it is by far and away more safe and more effective to have these procedures than ever before. In fact, the pill has been demonstrated to have greater safety than things like Tylenol, for example, or Viagra. But quite frankly, it is a safe procedure, but we'll see a marked increase in folks coming to Minnesota to be able to have that bodily autonomy.
Representative Kristen Bonner is joining us, 34B, soon to be 37B. Representative, it's interesting. This is an issue, though. When you look at the polling, 62-63% of people want Roe v. Wade to stay in place. Only a minority want this changed. You even do have states who have suggested that either A, they're going to prevent their pregnant women from leaving the state to stop them from trying to go to states, or that they'll actually try to sue Minnesota into compliance with their own state laws, which is also a really, you know, kind of scary way we're going with this. But the reality is that it is going to, Minnesota's going to be a target one way or the other to prevent people from basically even traveling here. This is some real scary stuff. We're going down a real weird path at this point in this country.
It is. And it I mean, the other part of this is that it has, as you pointed out, really far-reaching impacts on judicial law and on the sanctity of the courts. When we start talking about states suing other states and things like that, this has far-reaching impacts that go far beyond this one case and this one decision, which is why it's even more alarming that we have the Supreme Court not being thoughtful about what the ramifications and impacts would be from all the way to the top to the bottom of our court system. You know, for Minnesotans, for example, now I don't think we're going to have a they're going to have a whole lot of luck trying to sue Minnesota for what happens within our borders. I suspect that they will not have a great deal of success on that front. But what they could do is substantially chill the ability of women to seek treatment. And we're going to see what happens there. There's even a case down in Texas already of a woman who was jailed after an abortion for murder. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's a pretty extreme case, to be clear. And I don't suspect that will happen everywhere. But the point is that the ramifications of what that means for women, for women's rights, for their bodily autonomy is really significant. We're talking about over 100 million women who are now having questioned the ability to control their own destiny. And that's pretty significant. You know, and I have to be honest, I think it's, if from my perspective, I do hope that people will stand up and will pay attention. And you're right, the numbers are on our side in that folks, whether they like the procedure or not, whether they choose to have the procedure themselves, feel very firmly that the rights and protections should be in place to keep medical decisions between a woman and her doctor. Mm-hmm. That is crystal clear.
It is unbelievable that we are at this point, especially when you think about Roe v. Wade. We have basically anyone who is a little less than 50 years old or younger has always had more choice over their body than they're about to have in this country. And that is a really scary thing. We keep trying to say to ourselves, we need to make equality a more realistic issue. But yet then we keep getting these rulings that basically say that we can limit equality and limit fairness and regulate women's bodies. It does feel like for every step forward, we're taking 10 steps back at times.
It's true. And we basically feel that, you know, you're talking about generations of women, 50
yes.
years, right? Generations of women who have come to this place and time where they expect and believe that they have equal protections under the law. They believe that this sort of thing cannot happen, and yet they don't. Here we're arguing over whether or not, for example, the 28th Amendment, the Equal Rights Amendment, should be published in the Constitution, which, by the way, there are only two requirements to have that published. One, it has to pass through the full body of Congress, which it did back in 1973. And then on top of that, it has to pass 38 states or three quarters of the states to be ratified in order to become law. It has fulfilled all of those. And ironically, it fulfilled those markers 2 years ago. And yet we are still arguing over whether or not it should be published. No other amendment has been held up in this fashion. But that lays a foundation for women's rights across the board. And we're seeing women's rights on the chopping block right now, which is really unconscionable. And I hope that young women are paying attention, because for so long, we've tried in vain to convey the seriousness of this to a lot of those younger generations who've come to expect and sort of take for granted some of the rights that they currently enjoy. And the reality is, unless we do everything to enshrine those in the Constitution, we have no rights, period.
I will say this. You're talking about the younger generation. I got a 17-year-old and a 15-year-old daughter, and they're livid. And it sounds like pretty much most of it is really something that there is this generation that's coming up of this Generation Y, that's the post-millennials, and they are just tired of this, and they are ready to fight. And I think that the good news is I don't think this is going to stand long. But until it does get lifted and reversed or a constitutional amendment is passed, this is going to be something that there's going to be a lot of people out there fighting to overturn this. And that's the one thing that I'm happy to see is that this does seem to have finally woken up a lot of people.
It has. And, you know, and I do think that one of the other things that I am truly concerned about is the integrity of the courts.
Yes.
For the most part, for generations, we have upheld. We may not have always loved the decisions that come out of the Supreme Court, but we've always abided by them. We've always had faith in them. We've trusted the courts, and we've are trusted in the rule of law. But, you know, I think that if Roe v. Wade gets overturned, it's going to create an incredible ripple effect and a great deal of mistrust in the courts that I think will really have far-reaching impacts for mainstream society. And I do hope that justices will be very cautious and thoughtful about what that would mean for our society at large, but also for the rule of law and for the judiciary.
Representative, first of all, once again, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the time today. I know you're really busy. You are up for re-election here. There's going to be 37B coming up here this fall. If people would like to get more information about your campaign, to volunteer, help you out, donate for this upcoming election cycle, what's the website they should head to?
They can head out to bonner4house.com. That's B as in boy, A-H-N-E-R, 4, F-O-R, house.com. You can also find me on social media at State Representative Kristen Bonner. And on the campaign side, it's really complex, Kristen Bonner for State Representative.
And I'll link to everything, the State Representative, the campaign sites, I'll link to everything coming up here tonight after the show is over. Representative, thank you. Your clarity on this issue is greatly appreciated, and that we got a fight ahead of us, and I'm glad that I'm on your side.
And I just want to say thank you for having me on and giving me the opportunity to have this conversation. And you hit it right on the head. If you believe strongly that you want women to have to be able to control their own destiny, to have bodily autonomy, you need to make sure that we're supporting candidates that support your values. And that means donating. That means volunteering. That means showing up to knock doors and write postcards and do all of those things. And not just showing up for a rally for one day.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate your calling that out because we do decide the path of our democracy each and every day and whether or not that our freedoms can sustain. So appreciate you bringing that to the forefront.